الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له بيده الخير يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وخاتم أنبيائه وخيرة خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى فإنه سبحانه وتعالى يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ويقول سبحانه وتعالى عن رسوله وحبيبه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. My dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I praise Almighty Allah. I praise the Lord. I seek refuge in Him from our many failings and weaknesses and trespasses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and cover us all with His mercy. And may Allah cover up our faults and sins. May Allah help us wash our sins by inspiring us to do good deeds. Because innal hasanati yudhibna sayyat, verily good deeds will blot out or wash out the bad deeds. وَذَٰلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِذَاكِرِينَ Allah says, that is a reminder for those who want to receive the counsel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about His messenger, Rasulullah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ There has come to you a messenger from among yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ He is grieving for the suffering and the pain you are going through. Every pain of yours is His pain. Every affliction of yours, His affliction. Every suffering of yours, His suffering. Harisun alaykum. He is eager for uplifting you, empowering you, inspiring you, make you grow in purity and perfection, so that you attain ultimate felicity. He is full of mercy and compassion for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا If they turn away from responding to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ Say, Allah is sufficient for me, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ In Him alone I place all my trust. وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ He is the Lord of the mighty throne. Brothers and sisters, last week we were supposed to respond to the call to speak about the people with disabilities, how Islam and the message of the Prophet empowered those with vulnerabilities, weaknesses. How Islam is a message of upliftment. It's a message to move us forward, to help us master ourselves, to seek perfection, to fulfill our potential as created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every one of us In the language of Islam, in the vocabulary of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every one of us has a potential. If we realize this potential and motivate ourselves to achieve the plan of Allah, fulfill the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can make a difference. So I would like to invite your attention to the great role played by Rasulullah and the message of Islam in empowering people with disabilities. Islam came at a time, it's known as Jahiliyyah. Of course, the Jahiliyyah of today, when I look at it, it's even worse than the Jahiliyyah that Rasulullah came, Islam came. What was one of the things that characterized the Jahiliyyah at the time of Rasulullah? Of course, it is best summed up by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the pioneer Muslim who was called into the court of Najashi, the emperor of Abyssinia. And the emperor asked him, what is the message that your prophet has brought? What's his teaching? So of course, he summed up the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of Islam, that we were a people worshipping idols. And we were a people, the strong would devour the weak. Injustice, torture, inflicting pain on those who are vulnerable. Al-qawiyyu ya'kulu al-da'if. The strong eat the weak. And the law is meant for putting down the weak, enslaving, exploiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to empower people, the vulnerable, those who were oppressed and persecuted. The message of Islam liberated them. It's a liberating message. And Muslims need to seize the opportunity because the world is ripe for that. But unfortunately, we are too weak because we use the language of the colonized, because there is psychologically social conditioning, as the social scientist teaches us. You know, when the colonialists or the slave masters conquer a people, they also conquer the spirit, enslave them. The worst enslavement is when your spirit is enslaved and you take on the language and accept the framework that he has instituted. And all of us are guilty of it. In the universities, when our scholars go to study Islamic studies even, they take on the Western methodology, which is based on a Gnostic methodology, so-called empirical methodology, which put out the revelation from the methodology. Everything is measured by rationality, the subjective human rationality. There is no room there for the light of revelation. So this is the fitna we have. Yes, Muslims are called to apologize when a crazy Muslim uses the name of Islam to commit the atrocities as ISIS is doing. Yes, we must stand up and apologize. But at the same time, we should also stand up when the power, the big power, commit the worst atrocities and war crimes. Muslims are silent. Do we ask the Christians and the Jews to come up and apologize? Do we ask the Jews to apologize what they are doing to Palestinians in Israel? I would stand here and say boldness. Islam teaches us that we must stand up with the oppressed, with the weak, with the persecuted. If we fail to do that, we have failed in responding to the message of the Quran and message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let us come to the Islamic challenge. How Islam responded, empowering the disabled. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning, that his message is not just a call for rituals, worship, it's a call to change the society, to return the society to the path of justice and truth. When you refuse to stand for truth, you are setting up the society to be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nations were destroyed because people refused to stand up to speak the truth. Of course, we will be up for many, many trials, but we should not back out. Brothers and sisters, how Rasulullah was trained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My Lord has trained me and He trained me very well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching to the chiefs of Quraysh. And he had all the hope that if he were to win their hearts, their followers will also come to the fold of Islam, strength for Islam. His intention was good. And there comes this blind man who is a believer, asking him to teach him. He's already a believer. His name is Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. He's already a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought, I can teach him later, but let me now speak to the big cats, fat cats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately revealed the message, and you all read it in the Quran. Go and read it and reflect on the meaning. Abasa wa tawalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He frowned and turned away when the blind man came. He should have known that this man is better prepared to respond to the message and change himself, attain the purity, the growth, the spiritual growth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for those who respond to his message sincerely. Instead of turning to him and welcoming him, you have gone inclined to the person who thinks that he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need God Almighty. He thinks his reason is good. His wealth is enough. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, what harms you? What? How do you know? If this man is thinks so independent of himself, he doesn't need God Almighty, what hope is there for you in thinking that he will grow in perfection, he will respond and change? Rasulullah learned the lesson in a hard way, and he took it so seriously. From that time onwards, whenever Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum appeared in the majlis of Rasulullah, Rasulullah would stand up, marhaban biman atabani fihi rabbi. Welcome to those in whose sake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has admonished me on his behalf, for his cause. So Rasulullah learned the lesson that this man is valuable, precious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then all of those chiefs of Quraysh. And Rasulullah learned the lesson from that time onwards. According to Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, who is Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith? Every Muslim should know. Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith is Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum at least 13 times as a governor in charge of running the affairs. How many times? 13 times. Of course, the same message was applied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone. The Prophet addressed the believers, ubghuni dhu'afa'akum. Seek out the vulnerable, the weak, and bring them to me. Because fa innama turzakuna wa tusqawna bi dhu'afaikum. Because you are provided for, you get drink from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of them. And this protection of the weak, not just human beings. Ittaqullah fi hadhihi al-bahaim. Be conscious of Allah in the way you deal with this cattle. and these brute animals who cannot speak. وَلَوْلَا الْبَهَائِمُ لَمْ تُمْتَرُوا. If Allah were to look at the sins and the crimes of humanity, He would not have given you a drink of water, and He is doing so because of these mute animals. So you see how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, His compassion extends to all the creation. That is why He is a messenger of mercy, brothers and sisters. And so Anas Malik radiallahu anhu said, there was a mentally deranged person, woman in Medina. Once she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I need to talk to you for a long time. Not just few minutes. I want to open my heart to you, O Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tell me where you want me to come. I will come and sit with you, and you can speak as much as you want. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And she opened her heart to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat with her as long as she wanted. Of course, there was another woman with epileptic fits. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I am suffering from epilepsy. So pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure me for shifa. The Prophet of Allah said, I give you one of two choices. I can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you entirely and you will not suffer fits. Or you have a choice of remaining patient and then promise of Jannah in the hereafter. What would you like to have? This woman naturally who believes in Allah and the heaven and hell, unlike most of us, we have more faith in this world than in heaven and hell. So we want cure here, because we think that a bird in the hand is worth than 1,000 birds in the sky. And this is how we look at the Akhirah. We want the mansion here. We want the posh car here. We want everything, all the comfort here. We forget, when you have all the comforts here, Allah will say, أَذْهَبْتُمْ تَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. You had it all in this world. That's why Sahaba used to cry. When the whole world opened to them, they used to cry. And said, I'm afraid that because of our comfort, Allah will not leave anything for us in the hereafter. So, this lady understood, and she said to Rasulullah, no, then I would like to suffer, to be patient, but make sure, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time I have this fit, I expose myself. So pray to Allah, I don't expose myself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for her, so that when she has this fit, she will not be exposing herself. Of course, this is what happened to her. Brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam empowered everyone with disabilities. And there was a man called Julaybib. Nobody would give him a wife because he was physically challenged, abnormalities. So Rasulullah stood on the minbar and said, who wants to marry a man of paradise? And of course, he proposed to, and the people who heard the statement of Rasulullah rushed to give their daughter to him, and of course he got married. Of course, Julaybib wanted to take part in jihad. His children stopped him. But he complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said he has this desire to join, to make jihad. So let him go. And of course, he participated in Uhud. And then he becomes a martyr in Uhud. And Rasulullah said, Julaybib minni wa ana minhu. Julaybib is from me, I am from him. And Rasulullah had a vision of him in Jannah. Brothers and sisters, Muslims at a time when even the philosophers like Plato said people who with handicaps is a burden on society. So it's better that society get rid of them because they cannot be very productive. This is the rational philosophers. This is the time. And of course, Indian culture and Chinese culture, every civilization at that time looked down on the people who were physically or mentally challenged. And this is the time Islam brought this up, these changes, because Islam is a message that stand with the weak and the vulnerable. So what happened? How Muslims learned this lesson? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu orders the statistics of all those with the disabilities in the Islamic State to provide essential services for them. Walid ibn Abdul Malik followed further on this, and of course he made sure that there is going to be an assistant, personal assistant provided for everyone who is blind or mentally or physically disabled, provided for by the Islamic State. You know why? Because Imam Abu Hanifa, the great jurist of Islam, one of the greatest jurists of Islam, said, based on his reflection on the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the duty of the Islamic State to provide free services to take care of the disabled, mentally challenged and physically challenged. So of course, the Umayyads implemented this policy of Islam, and of course Islam shines among the various civilizations. Islam shines in rendering these essential services and taking care of the weak and the vulnerable, and it's time for us. And of course Islamic history is full of the Prophet's message empowering those with the disabilities. So you see Ahnaf ibn Qais becoming a great leader. The Prophet praised him for his sagacity and wisdom, and he was seriously disabled. And of course we have Atha ibn Abi Rabah, the chief jurist of Makkah. Chief jurist of Makkah, the Caliph used to announce, La yufta wa ata'un fi Makkah. No one is allowed to give fatwa when Atha is in Makkah. Who was he? Serious disabilities. Imam Tirmidhi, you read his collection of hadith. Serious disabilities. Musa ibn Usayr, conqueror of North Africa. Serious disabilities. Of course, Islam and Islamic history is full of many, many scholars who had been seriously disabled. Either they were blind or deformed. And some of them were called Ashaj, Asam. So, this is the message of Islam, brothers and sisters. Let's embrace this message and stand for the truth by the side of the weak and the vulnerable. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأئمة المهديين الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن بقية أصحاب رسولك ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Let us pray for those brothers and sisters who have passed away. And remember, one day we will all leave this world, the beautiful mansions we have, and we are going to be reduced to that hole. No pillow, no cushion. That's our final home. So prepare for that. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal amwat. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا دينا الا قضيته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك الا قضيتها يا ارحم الراحمين. Let us pray for our families and children. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. يا الله, grant us joy in our spouses and children and make us role models for God fearing people. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين واذل الشرك والمشركين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة انك انت الوهاب. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك وحب من يحبك والحب الذي يقربنا الى حبك. يا الله, grant us to love you, grant us to love your messenger, and grant us to love those who love you, and grant us the love that bring you closer to your love. اقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. السلام.